Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
How do you believe that God does miraculous things? You believe that? Well, you witness that today. Because God has changed forever some people's lives that are here. And you'll hear testimonies, maybe not from this pulpit, but maybe for someone that you brought or someone that will talk to you as they leave today, of what God set in their lives today. So would you give the Lord a hand of applause today for his goodness of what he's done today? It's just amazing. It just never ceases to amaze me that God's power just does great things in this house. And so we're going to go into the Word in just a moment, and we're going to talk about some things. Well, actually, we've been on just a couple of weeks subject of withholding nothing, which what that simply means is that we're willing to give God the very best. Amen. The very best. He gets the best. He gets the primo of everything that we do and everything that we say. So with that in mind, would you stand to your feet? We're going to go into Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 21. It's kind of an interesting scripture because it goes a direction we don't talk about very often, and that's kind of controversy when people get themselves kind of a little aside from what God would want them to do, but it has a real happy ending to it. We're going to pick up at verse 11 through 21, and the responding verses will be on the screen. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles.
Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ's presence, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified.
But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For I, though the law died in the law, I might live to God. Verse 21 together, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, let this word today sink into our hearts. And Lord, help us to just look at your word today and just to see it open up in us, to see that there's no room for hypocrisy, there's no room for pretending. But today that your Holy Spirit would just bring us to a place where we'll just be open to declare the gospel in everything we say and everything we do. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. All God's people said,
amen.
Before you see it, turn to someone and tell them this: be who you say you are.
Be who you say you are.
You can be seated. It's a setup, I know. The Word of God is amazing to me because it will talk about subjects that we won't bring up. And we're going to get into the life of Peter, but my introduction will go like this. Before we can move ahead fully into the celebration of Christmas season, I believe it's important that we take a look at what it means to be truly one with Christ. Simply, there is no better vantage point for us to look from than that of the cross. It's more than giving up sin, but becoming willing to examine the authenticity of the life that we display to the world. Question is, who are you? I mean, who are you really? Who do you represent? Here's the questions that will go along with it. First one would be this. Have you truly let go of everything to take hold of Christ? Well, that seems like kind of a bland question. But I think that for some reason or not, even after many years of following after the Lord, we find ourselves grabbing hold. I find myself grabbing hold of something that really isn't necessary. But it's for my own security or insecurity, whichever you may want to put in that particular place. But today God's going to just really point us to a place of repentance so we can really be fully a representative of Christ. Secondly, have you fully embraced daily living, daily living from the life crucified with Christ? We'll talk about that more. And lastly, the point we'll make is, does your spiritual rebirth reflect the character of someone without pretense and deceit? I don't know how it affects you, but to discover later on that someone is not who they represented themselves to be is not a happy time. I know it happens in marriages many times. A person is on their best behavior until you say, I do. Like, fooled you. But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some things that I think that will help us. It says, and first thing is, we must take on a new identity that is transparent and authentic. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23 kind of sets us up for that. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. Next little portion here. To those who are without the law, as without the law, not being without the law toward God, but under the law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might partake of it with you. There's got to be a reason that we're doing the things we do beyond ourselves. Otherwise, it's just futile. It's a waste of time. And so I want to just take you on a journey for the next few moments about what it really means to be authentic in those things. For we must be willing to embrace the life of a servant in order to truly represent the gospel of Christ. If Jesus came forth as one who came to serve and not to be served, to give his life as a ransom for many, what makes you think you're going to be different? Christian. Sometimes it's a title, and nowadays it's not really a popular one. But I want to just take you to and reframe this in the idea that God wants us to be authentic to the core who we confess that we are. Now, let's start with a couple of practical things. First of all, giving up sin is only the first step to following Jesus. I don't drink, smoke, or chew, or go with those who do. So what? I mean, come on. If your life is based on what you don't do, what do you do that's going to make a difference for someone else other than yourself? And so we get into this particular place. This is, we must not allow our struggle with sin to be the focus of our relationship with Christ. Some of us are all week long, oh, if I can just stay away from that, I'll be doing well. Really? And you'll meet people every day of your life on their way to hell and won't say a word to them about Jesus. I know you wish you stayed home. It's too late. Because if we're loving Jesus, somehow he should come up in the conversation. And so that being the case, you go a little bit further. As a servant, we are more concerned, if we are indeed a servant, as a servant, we're more concerned about pleasing our master than we are about pleasing ourselves. But that's not true. Some of the time, all the time doesn't matter. Well, We must be willing to choose to walk in the awareness of opportunities to represent Jesus by serving others. And our conduct, among others of faith and without faith is crucial. And so it's really about focus. And I was doing some study the other day, and I don't know a whole lot about race car drivers, but I did find this one particular principle they were talking about. And I think it's the reason why many of us crash and burn. It is. I believe it's the reason why we crash and burn. I got your attention because I know you like race car drivers. You are dialed in. One of the things that they teach a race car driver, that if you're spinning out and you're losing control and you're headed toward the wall, take your focus off the wall and put your focus on the track. Because if you focus on the wall, that's what you're going to hit. But if you refocus, because it's our natural tendency, oh, the wall's coming, got to focus. We're focusing on the wrong thing. You don't want to hit the wall, you want to hit the track. We need to change our focus on what we're looking at so we can do what God's called us to do. But we're so focused on the wall of what we're not going to hit that we can't hit what we're supposed to hit. It'll sink in a minute. It's all about focus. And when we get up in the morning, unfortunately, our focus is to get to work in the best condition possible. But we should have decided the night before I get ready to go to work, I need to spend some time with Jesus so I can be effective for my boss and effective for the kingdom of God. It's all about your focus. And it's a pre-assigned attitude. I think you all know what flying by the seat of your pants is. Things just happen, and it's chaos, and you try to just kind of muddle your way through that. But we have to learn how to be intentional and be authentic. Let me move on a little bit further. We must let go of the things that are not important to pursue and pursue the things that will bring life. And unfortunately, we get our focus on the wrong stuff. We'll get to the Peter story in just a minute. But we will willingly surrender our rights to serve our own desires. Well, one of the most difficult things to do, to let go of, is for our perception of who we believe ourselves to be. Oh, boy. This is a counseling session, so get ready. Peter struggled with what people thought of him. And so do you. And so do I. And if you go through your day, through various times, and you have to stop and focus about, what the reason why you do certain things based upon, what other people around you are going to think of you, it will amaze you. I dare you to do that tomorrow. I don't want to do that. It's so unconscious. And it's not the point where we'd be some maverick individual. I don't care what people think. What I ought to do, whatever. No. But the intentions of how living our life on the defensive, we're not intentional about the things that will make a difference in other folks' lives. Because we're so guarded of ourselves. Peter had the problem. Now, this is the same Peter that denied Christ. This is the same Peter that Jesus welcomed back into the kingdom. This is the same Peter that preached on the day of Pentecost and a whole bunch of folks got saved. And you know what? He ain't delivered yet. Amazing. Do not look at your past successes as something that identifies you as you've finally made it, because you haven't. None of us have. That's the reason why it's important for us to die daily. Otherwise, we'll go back to our resume. That's right. And your resume is old, okay? Your resume needs to be updated every day by the Holy Spirit, and He's the only one that's got the true readout of who you really are from one day to the next. Well, Peter wanted acceptance of others more than he wanted to be true to the gospel. He said, what is this story all about? Peter was two-faced. When he's among the Gentiles, he's one person. When he's among the Jews, the other people, he's another person. And so Paul, he called him out. He said, hey, Peter, what's up, man? How come you act like this with these folks and you act like this? But you know what? So do you. I think if we show up at your workplace, first of all, y'all be in shock. Pastor, so nice to see you here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No, you wouldn't be hiding. You need to change a few things. You need the people you're hanging out with, you don't want me to know that you're hanging out with them, but you okay with it whether I'm not there. Something wrong with that. Oh, it's going to get rough today, y'all. Because if you're going to get embarrassed when I come in the room, how about Jesus been in the room all along? Woo. Well, praise him. Peter had to face a part of himself that was not true to the theological convictions, but to cowardice. Let me move on to this. So Peter needed to claim his identity as one who was in Christ regardless of who he happened to be with. So we must be willing to give up our claims or rights of ourselves, and it is more than, I should say, it's more than no longer being our own, but the price that Jesus paid for us must be preeminent all the time. Here's a question. Are there times when you feel less saved than others? You just don't feel sanctified. You feel cranktified. Oh, I know. I'm going to hit a nerve today on somebody. And all of a sudden you feel like it's okay to take a break. I just need kind of a break from being too holy, and I just need to just say something. And I'll be back. That's what it means to be crucified, to be dead. Dead men don't talk back. No, they don't. They just lay up there just like where you laid them. So I guess our willingness to identify with the death of Jesus will reveal what is in our heart. Let me give you a few things about that. We will suffer sharp and painful disillusionment before we totally surrender. I don't purposely look for pain, but I found out pain isn't all that bad. It really isn't. You know what it does? It lets you know something's wrong. Now, if you went through life, and actually that's one of the things about, you know, if you knew anything about leprosy is a particular disease. What it does, it numbs the nerves, and you don't know that your arm's about to fall off. You've lost all feeling and all life to going to that particular part of the extremity, and the next thing you know, like, it's like, arms falling off, my legs falling off. Leprosy starts from the inside, works its way out, and before you know it, something very vital is gone. You know where this comes from? It comes from your heart. From the abundance of the heart, the issues of life, and the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you things, and oftentimes we'll just kind of just push away from that. Well, the case being that we struggle the most with pride that is in our hearts, trying to protect our flesh. We don't want people to think that we're a certain way, so we put up protective barriers or ways to deflect them away from who we really truly are, how we really think. An image. And Peter, boy, he's just, you know, he's a pretender. Our flesh will always be in direct opposition of surrender to death of ourselves daily on the cross. Let's go back into Galatians. And it says, I have been crucified with Christ at verse 20. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live. Now note that word in there, three words, in the flesh. Why did he put that? To help you know that it is possible for you to live a holy life in this body. But you've got to experience the first piece. Being crucified with Christ, it's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. In life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Now watch this. Who loved me and gave himself for me. When someone has loved you that much, you're going to live differently. There's a whole lot of things that I don't do because I love my wife. And there's a whole lot of things I do because I love my wife. But it's all based out of love for her. Not out of duty. So, you know, I might as well do this. Otherwise, she's going to be mad. That girl's going to be mad. She got a temper. She be doing stuff, you know. I got to keep it cool with her. You know, sister girl, can, she got, you know, she got a voice. That's not the reason. Because I love her. And I don't do it to make her love me. I do that because I love her. See, the problem is, we do things that we believe that we do this, that'll make Jesus love us more. Wrong answer. He already settled that once for all. When he went to the cross, that take that off the table. You little performance-oriented automatons, God bless you. But it ain't gonna work. There's nothing you could do to make God love you more. He's already proved that. Well, the process of crucifixion is a pathway to true life. In order for us to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, we must reckon that this is already done. It says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Reckon means, I reckon I'm dead. No. No, you're a wreck, but that's another story. Okay. Reckon means to realize it's already happened. It's a response to something that has already occurred. So the deal is this, that as we find ourselves in this particular process, any life that we now experience is because of the death of Christ on the cross. The power of Christ now lives forever in us. Now, can I give you just kind of a little tangible idea of the power of Jesus living forever inside of you? You say, well, Jesus really does live. Yeah. The Bible says this, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, now note what he says, it will quicken your mortal body. In other words, you will be able to know he's there. This is not an ethereal experience like, oh, I just feel him in the trees and the birds as the water flows by. I just get this feeling. No, honey, it's inside of you and it will quicken you. It will cause you, sometimes, he said, what happened to Sister Marlowe? She was up here just shouting and carrying on. Honey, I'll tell you what, you can't help yourself. And it's not a show. It's because the Holy Spirit is upon you and you're responding to who he is. Quickens you. That's a good thing. The power of Christ now lives forever. We must choose every day to live our life from our experience of what Jesus experienced while on the cross. And I'm going to give you some examples of that in just a moment. To those who saw him on the cross that did not appreciate or acknowledge the sacrifice that he was making. Now, I'm going to help us. The session is now starting. So get ready. If we're going to take it from the perspective of Jesus on the cross, then here's the first thing you've got to reckon or deal with, is those who see you on the cross and do not appreciate or acknowledge the sacrifice that you make for them daily, especially you parents. Got some kids, Lord, have mercy. Don't appreciate nothing you do. Irresponsible knuckleheads. Or how about this? You have a spouse that sometimes doesn't acknowledge the way you think they should acknowledge. Stay on the cross. Don't come down. Because Jesus knows how you feel. And that's what it means to be crucified daily. Well, it goes a little more that we must be willing to experience the pain of not being appreciated or acknowledged for the things we do in the name of Jesus, in the body of Christ. You want to get hurt? Come to church. We can work you over, honey. We can whip you hip and thigh. Make you feel you are a zero. And how we do it? We just ignore you. Fellowship Sunday. You know, you putting your cup underneath and get a little juice, they move your cup out of the way and put theirs there and say, Really? I'm not saying that people do it intentionally, but some people are dismissive in the way they do things. Do not get offended. Let Jesus deal with them. Holy Spirit will slap them upside their head. Take their cookie. Make confetti. I'm going to leave it alone. Our motives and reasons for doing what we do in his name may be defamed or questioned. I think the hardest thing for any person, especially someone in ministry, is how someone just gets, I know why you do that. You just do that because you think you can really speak, or you do this because you can really sing. Or you can just, and people just kind of just vilify you. Well, you're just not the only person out there, you know. And they'll say it to your face. Or they'll put it on Facebook. Now, if you want to get depressed, read all the Facebook accounts about yourself. Because, see, some people are so coward, they won't tell you to the face. They say, there's something for you on Facebook. You probably should read it. Ooh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We must be willing to experience being mocked and ridiculed. Now, we must not allow ourselves to forget why we are there. Jesus is on the cross, and they're mocking and says, really? You're the Son of God, and you're up there being crucified? I don't think so. Or they're mocking, look at him. Dad was a carpenter, so I say, his mother's Mary, he says he was born of, you know, he's an illegitimate child, was delusional. Really? People are going to say some things about you that are just wicked, that will hurt you to your core. Stay on the cross. Don't come down. Don't come down. In a moment, I'll tell you why you're there. Well, you experience ultimate humiliation, what appears to be ridicule for those who lack understanding of why we are there. Is all the more reason to stay on the cross. Here's the next little thing. One of the most difficult things in the life of the cross will expose us is misunderstanding. Here's what it looks like. Well, we choose to take up the cross because Jesus commanded us to do so. Jesus says, take up your cross daily and follow me. So we're following this command, but people will question our motive for that. Furthermore, we experience the pain of the cross with the purpose of understanding that Jesus will never give us more than we can bear. Let me help you, help us, help me with that. I'll talk about me. I'm not going to talk about you right now. Later I will. But there are times being up on the cross, or is supposed to be up on the cross, that people will either say or do things, and I don't do good. I don't do well. So I am not. That's not the reason why I did that. But it's not going to change their mind. We will spend sometimes more time trying to justify or rectify a situation than we will by just allowing Jesus to be our ultimate defense. If someone comes against you, Jesus knew about it before they started. First Corinthians 10:13 will always be my favorite scripture. No temptation has taken you but such that is common to man. But here's the next part. But God is faithful. Somebody say that. God is faithful. and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But here's the part right here. But will make a way of escape that you will be able to endure. There is always a way out. Now, here's the thing. Take this home with you. Lord, help me to see the way out and not become bitter. Because once bitterness takes over, you're done. The effect of what God had in order just is out the window. Well, we choose to identify with the one who has given us meaning and a purpose in life. While on the cross, we will remember those who have served, those we have served who have abandoned us in our time of need. Ooh. You talk about hurt. When you've given of yourself to people, and then you just need a phone call, or just a high five or a hug, and they just kind of walk right on by you like ain't nothing going on. It's hard to get past that. Let me give you three little things about that quickly. First of all, real life experience occurs when we allow ourselves to process pain, the pain of abandonment by those we have served. Consider this. Jesus experienced watching those watching him that he had served by washing their feet. Now, they weren't in the forefront, from what I understand. According to theologians or different historians, they said that they were kind of hiding out behind other folks or whatever. But Jesus saw them. Remember, Jesus is human. And he sees Matthew, who he believed in. He sees Thaddeus and different ones who he gave his life for. He's up there on the cross, and they're just kind of hiding out, wanting not to be discovered in his time of pain. Believe me, it will happen to you. People that you've invested yourself in, you've washed their feet, you've been there for them, and they're nowhere to be found. Wow. Our resolve to remain on the cross is empowered by the knowledge of Christ who lives within us. I'm almost to the conclusion here. We can only know God's love for us by choosing to die on the cross. John 3:16, everybody knows that. Repeat it with me. For that. And I remember learning that as a kid. I was really, really happy when I did. But as I live the Christian life, I learn, hopefully, more and more about how that really impacts me and other people around me. I'll go through real quickly because we're just about done. Here's how it works. God modeled total surrender to us by giving us Jesus. You are not totally surrendered until you've given your very best. Let them marinate for a moment. Because the question following that is, what are you holding on to, keeping it for yourself? So I'll give Jesus this, I'll give him that, I'll give him my time. But this one thing here, that's just one thing. That's what Jesus has got to have. The thing you call the best. Well, it's my job, or it's my family, or this particular thing. I mean, he can have everything else, but I just need this for my security, for my future. You have no future without Jesus. Excuse me. The next breath you are intending to take may not come. There's no greater sacrifice than Jesus. There's nothing in heaven or on earth greater than his sacrifice on the cross. God gave us Jesus with his total obedience and desire to redeem men. Next little phrase we found from back in Galatians, who loved me and gave himself for me. Which means that salvation comes from God, means that I am completely delivered from God. myself. I don't have to rely on my own self, who loved me, gave himself for me. It's because of Jesus. Furthermore, salvation is much more, and I said this in the beginning, I'll say it again, is much more than being delivered from sin. Huh? Isn't that the whole deal? We're delivered from sin? No. That's just the first part. Salvation is to be in perfect union with God and willing to tell everybody about Him. That's the goal. Just you being delivered from sin. Well, you're delivered from sin. Well, great, you're delivered from sin. What does that have to do for me? Well, I'm delivered from sin. I'm going to heaven. Well, what about me? Well, I don't know. Guess you should try to find him. Do the best you can. I don't know, but I'm going to heaven. Really? And that sounds kind of ridiculous, but that's the way we live our lives. We don't tell anybody. I remember people saying, I believe religion is very private. It's a very personal thing. And I just don't want to discuss it with anyone. It's just so deep inside. Please, give me tissue. You're stupid. You're just plain picking stupid. You will tell people about the best restaurant in town if the food was good. Honey, you have not been anywhere till you've been to that place. Honey, they can throw down. And you don't care who hears you. Be on the bus, be in the lobby. They say, what's the name of the place? Oh, it's such and such a place. It's on there. And they, you know, and you will just shout it all abroad because you believe it's the best and they ought to experience this because they haven't lived until they've experienced them braised short ribs with those, Yukon Gold potatoes. And I know it's getting close to lunch. But you see what I mean? And we'll tell, and we just all bold about it, advertising. I'm almost there, so just hang on. We'll never completely surrender until we realize what truly happened when God gave us Jesus. He absolutely gave of himself to us. Jesus was the best. There's no greater gift that can be given. Total, unconditionally, without reservation, Jesus was given to atone for our sin. How about this? The life we now live is by faith in the Son of God. That means we have no life outside of Jesus. Hello. I'm going to repeat it. These folks over here didn't get it. You have no life outside of Jesus. You have no life outside of Jesus. If you die without Jesus, you have no life at all. This ain't no joke. Well, I'm sure there'll be other options. No, there's no other options. It's Jesus or hell. That don't sound too good. Well, the life we now live is faith in the Son of God. Last scripture here, requiring you to make your way up here. We must take responsibility for who is controlling our life. And these five things will help you as a close. First of all, we must take full responsibility for who's presently controlling your life. There is a person, there is something that is presently controlling your life. Could be money, could be your job, could be your spouse, could be your kids, could be your relationship, could be drugs, could be sex. You say, ooh, you're getting kind of personal. Yeah, I am. Because there are people sitting in this room right now that drugs control their life, that sex controls their life, that money controls their life, that their job controls their life, that their family controls their life. Anything that controls your life other than Jesus being at the head will end you up in hell. Number two. When we yield control, it's a choice that we've made. You say, well, everybody already responded to the altar call today. I guess we can just all go home. No, there's a few holdouts.
tonight.
Let me get to number three. If I'm a slave to self, it's because I have set a pattern of behavior in place, and I'm the only one who can remove it. I like things structured. I mean, people know me pretty well. I like, you know, kind of do things pretty routinely. But when it comes to the Lord, he's got first grab. He can change anything he wants. I don't care. But some of you are living your life by patterns you set up that you feel comfortable with. Number four, when I yield myself to God, I give over my rights to the Holy Spirit and submit to his power to change me. Let me just move on to number five and I'm done. Freedom can only come to us when we are ready to allow the power of the cross to overshadow any desire or purpose that's not of God. Everybody bow your heads. Would you do that? Because I want to give you a video that will run in your mind as I'm talking to you as we close. I want to take you back to that scene that you're on this racetrack and your car's about to spin out of control. You're going too fast to stop it. And the only thing you can see in your mind, not in reality, but is you crashing up against those high walls that are kind of put up there to save the people that are watching you. There's a voice that comes into your head that says, refocus. You're here to win a race. And even though your life seems like it's out of control, grab a hold of the wheel, Holy Spirit, and stay on the track. Right now, God wants some people here to refocus their lives. They've been spinning out of control, to refocus them on Jesus. And he'll put them in alignment and save them from destruction. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, I'm just going to pray a simple prayer. I'm going to ask maybe for that one or two persons that might be here that didn't respond earlier. But thank God you stayed. Because Jesus has done that very thing for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, for the person that's here that needed to hear just a little bit more about you and about what life is all about, and needs to know that it's your incredible love that God sent you out of his incredible love to redeem us. God, I ask you to cast out fear, cast out shame, cast out blame. All the things that would keep us away from you, that we could come to you today to receive new life. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, if that's you, lift your hand right now. We need to pray for you. God bless you. Yeah.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.